everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, it is the 26th of November at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you're listening to an archive or a replay, I also want to welcome you to the show. I want to let you know we're over in the chat room. You can find that by heading over to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button, and you will be redirected into the Facebook chat. If you've not joined that group before, you'll need to ask for entry, but I think it's easy to add yourself, and then you'll see my banner at the top of the page and other people chatting there. So that's how to find me. Pardon me, that's what's going on. So I am also live streaming this event, so you can watch the live stream if you head over to YouTube or Facebook and just look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic. So easy enough to find, easy enough to locate. Happy Thanksgiving. It is Thanksgiving week, of course, here in the U.S. I hope that some of you are off doing something fabulous. I hope that you're doing somewhere where the skies are blue. That's not here. We are fixing for a storm. Yesterday, Scott and I were out running errands, and the city was out spraying acid on the road. And when you see that happening, you know that the city thinks that we're about to have a big storm because that's the first thing they do so that to try and help keep the roads from getting so slick. So at any rate, I'm hoping it holds off because my kids will be coming home tomorrow evening, driving home from Boise. So I'm hoping the weather holds for them because that can be kind of a scary ride. So yeah. And you probably noticed that I wasn't here last week. I did put a note out on my Facebook page. I also didn't publish Luminous. Rico passed last Monday night. So, ooh, that's what we're not going to do. he did. He died in Scott's arms. Was right where he should have been. And the poor little guy, as you know, he had cancer and was nearing end of life. We were doing end of life care for a couple of weeks with him, and he didn't suffer. We kept him very, very comfortable. He spent 2 weeks in our arms between Scott and myself. Nearly every minute, one of us was holding him. He was warm, he was safe, and he was loved, and that's how he lived his life. So we are still very heartbroken. We will be forever. But it wouldn't hurt so much if we didn't love him so much, right? And who would change that? So that's where it is. So that's all I'm going to say about that, because obviously I'll just show up here and cry for an hour, and, well, who needs that? I'm sick of that. So, you know. Hey, Jean, good to see you. And Quelly and Sid, thank you. Yeah. Well, I am sick of me and crying, so we're not going to do that. I have found some time to be a bit down in the glass room. I'm looking at the calendar going, my God, Christmas is in 4 weeks. Am I ready? No. I still had a lot of things to make and create, and I don't know. I might not do them all this year. We'll see. But I finally, had some time and space, so I've been down in the glass room. But I wanted to show you these cute little pine cones I've been making. Aren't those darling? I put them in both chat rooms, but they're made from glass powder and then fired at about 1500 degrees to melt the glass into the shape. So I made 35 of those because they're going to go on a bowl. So I have a 12-inch round piece of glass that those and a bunch of really sparkly red little dots that look like berries that I'm, well, that are in the kiln right now as we speak. And a bunch of glass stringers cut up to look like pine needles are all going to go together on that and then be slumped into a bowl. So I can't wait to show you what it looks like when it's done. I hope it looks as good as it looks in my head. That's always the challenge. But anyway, I'm having fun in the glass room, so that's good. I am also finally dipping my toe into stained glass. When I bought my glass studio, it was about 50% stained glass and 50% fused glass. materials, and I've spent this entire year learning how to fuse glass, and let's not pretend like I, you know, I'm still a real amateur, but that's fine. That's fine. I'm in groups with people that have been doing glass for like 50 years, and I'm blown away. Anyway, I'm doing fine, but I really wanted to finally pivot a little bit and try my hand at stained glass, now that I'm better at cutting glass as well. Not as good as I would like to be, however. The project that I chose, I cut the glass to the best of my ability, and then Scott went in and recut a lot of the glass because of a bad job someone did. But I also broke my saw. Now, to be fair, my saw is about 20 years old, and Scott said he thinks the internal components had never been replaced. So I didn't break it negligently, I don't think. But the parts are here today, so hopefully he fixes my saw so that some of that more intricate work can just be cut on a saw rather than by hand, because some of it is really tough to do otherwise. But anyway, I digress. So I can't show you that project yet because it is for someone for Christmas who could very well see it if I post it on the internet. So I'm not going to post it yet, but I'll show it to you later. But yes, it's that's fun. Stained glass is super fun. Now I'm feeling like addicted and want to do a few more stained glass pieces. We'll see. We'll see. I wanted this to be Scott's niche. So I think it's kind of fitting that I'm struggling with it a little bit and he's having to help me because I really want him to fall in love with stained glass. Is this manipulative? Maybe this is manipulative. It's whatever. Hey, Renee and Sheila. Anyway, I also wanted to show you a picture of Christy's. Well, this is Christy and Rhonda, my sister and sister-in-law. I wanted to show you them these shirts because last Friday night, our nephew Jack, his football team played for the state championship. And Jack's a senior, so last year they played for the state title too, and they lost. And so this year, obviously, there was a strong desire to rectify that and win the state title. So we were able to go to their game. Luckily, it was in a local at a local college at ISU, but it's in a dome because, you know, it's cold. And their game was at 8:15 at night. But anyway, long story short, they won. So congrats to Hillcrest. They are state champions. And my sister, Kara, the day before went, okay, is this completely insane? I really wish we were doing T-shirts. It's not completely insane when I'm on board because, well, I can do those things, right? So anyway, we made the shirts overnight. There were 11 of us at the game, so it was quite a few shirts to make, but it turned out just fine. And there was his big cheering squad, all of us in our shirts, and it was just super fun. So good to them, and it was awesome. So yeah, that's what's going on. Kids coming home. We're going to do Thanksgiving, of course. Friday, you know, we always do Black Friday shopping. I know a lot of you guys avoid that like the plague, but it is a tradition for us, and we love it. It's a little bit different now than it used to be because the stores don't, because of so much of it's online, they don't really have the same level of enticements to come in at certain times and stuff. So we don't usually start until like 8 because we're tired. So we usually shop for a couple of hours and have breakfast and call it a day, which is fine because my girls are home. And so I really would love to just lay on the couch and watch Christmas movies a little bit too. We'll see. When the kids come home, they have a tendency to run me ragged. So we'll see what happens. There's a big part of me that is trying to just rest up now knowing that they're coming because, oh my God, they have a lot more stamina than me. And that's probably fine. Okay, well, let's dive into Luminous. There's quite a bit there I wanted to share. I did publish earlier today, so you probably have already received it if you subscribe. So I'm going to put a link in both chat rooms. Good point, Bob. He said your kids are good at contact sports, so that could be helpful on Black Friday. Do you know what happened a couple of years ago in Target? And it wasn't that busy at that point, but we were kind of standing on the edge of a walkway, checking our list, and this girl just comes flying around the corner with a shopping cart and just full on slams into Mars. And Mars didn't say anything. She actually apologized. She went, "Oh, sorry," as if she was in this girl's way. And this girl did not apologize. She didn't say anything. She just kept going. And Mateo goes, "Don't apologize to that bitch." She ran into you. And that girl did not, she didn't turn around. She didn't look at us. She just kept going. It was all just kind of shocking. And then we laughed a lot. But the way Matea said, "Don't apologize to that bitch," I thought, oh no, we're going to be the ones having the Target incident today. So you would think so, Bob. But it was actually my non-contact sport kid that actually stood up for the person that was injured. All I really want to do on Black Friday is go wander more Barnes and Noble. I don't know what it is about Christmas and bookstores. Is this just me, or do you guys have a thing here? I think some of it just comes from my mom because she loved bookstores so much. And at Christmas, she would spend a lot of time in the bookstores finding a book or two for each of us for Christmas. And then she'd bring them home and write notes in all of them. And that was always, you could count on receiving a book or two from her for Christmas. But bookstores at Christmas time are just a really special, magical place. So that's all I really want to do is just go to Barnes and Noble. We don't really have much for other local bookstores anymore. That's kind of what we have. I think there's a used bookstore downtown now that I haven't visited. Maybe I should try them. But at any rate, it's just a special place. So anyway, that's all. So maybe I guess if they want to like do the mall thing, I'll just say, I'll meet me in Barnes and Noble." Oh, Sheila too. She said, "My local bookstore has become my second office. I love it. I love that." And our Barnes and Noble has a coffee shop in it, Starbucks. But still, you can get a cup of coffee and read and peruse, and I love all of it. Love it. Love the energy of a good bookstore. Sid said I'd spend a lot more time at my Barnes and Noble if they hadn't removed all the seating and if they welcomed dogs like all the other Barnes and Nobles I'd gone to. Oh, really? Wow. I don't know about ours. I haven't been there, well, probably been 6 months, I guess, but yeah. Hey, Heath. I agree, Bob. A bookstore has a comfortable smell that I associate with home. Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Oh, I know. I've been thinking about what? Because I buy my kids books for Christmas, along my mom's vein. So I don't know. I got to do some, probably got to go to Book Talk and see what's recommended. But all of my kids are readers. Micah, however, Micah always has a. He has an Audible account and he always has a book on tape going on in the background. His job is he works in HVAC, and so he spends a lot of his time just, installing things, and he likes to be a solitary worker because he just wants to listen to his book while he works. And his bosses are always laughing about the fact that if you give Micah a job that you think is going to take him all day, you better be ready in 4 hours with the next job, because he just barrels through it because he doesn't stop. He's not chatting it up. He's just listening to his book and working. Yeah. But anyway, so I got to think. So if you have any book suggestions, Michael likes fantasy. He's like a Lord of the Rings kind of guy. The girls like more like modern heroine types of books. So if you have thoughts, let me know. Sid said, I love bookstores. Can't leave the house without coming home with books. Get lots of good free craft and fun books at the library just out and about. Yeah. I'm torn. I really like my Kindle books a lot. But, and it doesn't hurt as much when you fall asleep and drop your phone on your face as a gigantic book. But there's a place for paper books too. And I think my eyes are happier with paper books than always reading on my phone or on my Kindle. And some books are just supposed to be in person. My mom would give us a children's book every year. No matter how old you were, she would find the most charming, like, Christmas stories and things and read them to us on Christmas, or give them to us for Christmas. And then everybody would, you know, sit around and read their books. So I have a lot of really special children's books, like, you know, full color, gorgeous, you know, books such as that. So I was thinking that our Christmas episode this year, I'll probably read you a couple of books, because I love doing that. But that's where my thought process is at. Hey, Suzanne, good to see you too. All right, well, let's get into Luminous. I put a link up. Let me just share my page here. Okay, there we go. I mean, obviously, had to go with a turkey cover this year. We used to have turkeys. We had a breed called Slate Blues. They're a heritage breed, or an heirloom heritage. I can't remember. With poultry, it's heritage. That's right. Heirloom is vegetables and plants. So it is heritage. So basically, there's heritage breeds of turkeys that are old-fashioned breeds, you know, that haven't been mixed with lots of different kinds of turkeys to get certain attributes. So we did Slate Blues, and they were the coolest turkeys. It's crazy to me how you always hear, like, what do they say? The pig says oink, right? The horse says neigh. The turkey says gobble gobble. Who the hell was listening to these farm animals and coming up with that idea? Have you ever heard the sound a turkey actually makes? Because it doesn't sound like gobble gobble at all. It's cool as hell. It's kind of a trill. But it's not gobble gobble. Let's be real. Anyway, we really liked our turkeys. But we had one hen that would get broody. And she would lay, she'd steal everybody's eggs. And she would lay right in the doorway of the turkey pen. And so you'd have to go in there every day, of course, to feed them and check their water and stuff. You'd have this mean bee with her little nest right in the doorway. She never hatched a single baby, ever, but she always laid with them right there. And she would peck you pretty good. So you didn't want to go through there with sandals on, because she'd go at your toes. Ooh, if you had painted toenails, whew, she'd really go at your toes. But anyway... I'm guessing that UPS or Amazon is here, because those dogs are having a fit. Okay, anyway, my experience with turkeys was overall a very entertaining, interesting one. I think turkeys are pretty cool. Okay, so I called this edition, the Giving Thanks edition. If you've listened to me for any time at all, you know that I'm a big fan of gratitude and the role gratitude plays in manifesting and spiritual growth. So, of course, this week that's where we're going to hit, because it's a good spot to go. So I put together an article of gratitude rituals for Thanksgiving and beyond. I don't know why this time of year we suddenly go, let's all have some thanks, except for that it's called Thanksgiving. The truth is, gratitude as a spiritual practice is an incredibly powerful way to attract more of what you want into your life. It just is. Gratitude is a very powerful way to get what you want and also to enjoy your life experience. It's hard to be in a space of gratitude and in a space of being pissed off all the time at the same time. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to be pissed off all the time. I don't. It's exhausting. It is not the life for me. So, gratitude. And I don't want that to seem trite. I understand that we all have challenges. We all have bullshit that happens in our lives. Sometimes you feel like you have very little to be grateful for. I totally understand that. And I don't want to negate anybody else's experience or tell you that you have to feel a certain way. I'm just going to give you some suggestions. And if it works for you and it resonates, great. And if it doesn't, that's totally cool too. Like, I don't want to be the new agey person who tells people they're not allowed to have their feelings, because fuck that noise, right? No, we're going to have our feelings. We're human beings. You're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. And the truth is, that's a life experience. We all experience that. But I am going to give you some suggestions of ways that you may consider expressing or feeling gratitude to just help enrich your own life. That's all. Okay, so the gratitude jar. This one is a classic. We've talked about this, the gratitude jar and the worry jar. Have you noticed that? And some people have a swear jar, but what the hell do you need that for? Anyway, it is a classic. So take a jar or any container or some cool dish or bottle or something that you have that you want to use. Put it somewhere visible, like the kitchen counter, the living room, your dresser. Put a little stack of notes. I like this, to put a little stack of paper with it or even in it in a Ziploc bag so that you have and your pen at the ready. And then every day or when you feel inspired, just write down something you're grateful for and put it in the jar. It doesn't have to be anything huge. This could be the taste of your coffee. It could be the sound of birds. It could be running into a stranger that makes your day. It could be a random act of kindness, you know. It could be anything. But toss it in the jar. It becomes much more tangible when you just start recognizing the good things in your life. And when you do that and you just start acknowledging them and that jar grows, it's amazing how your gratitude grows. It does a lot for your energy. It's amazing. If you have kids or housemates, you're welcome to invite everybody to participate. It's a good one. Morning gratitude affirmations. You may consider starting your day with a simple gratitude affirmation. This is simple. This is something you could write in your journal. This is something you could just speak aloud or in your mind while you drink your coffee, while you're laying in bed stretching and thinking about getting up, while you're on your morning walk. While you're staggering out of bed, still trying to force yourself to wake all the way up, whatever. Here's a few ideas. I'm grateful for the roof over my head. I'm thankful for my body and all it does for me. I appreciate the opportunity to start fresh today. Or whatever is in your heart. This is a grounding ritual. It's a way to set the vibe for the day. It's a good way to just set the tone of the day in a place of gratitude and a place of peace. It also requires a little bit of mindfulness, because I don't know about you guys, but I can easily switch to autopilot and tune things out and not pay attention, never stop and smell the roses. I think we just we live in a busy world, a chaotic world, the world of the internet, where it's very easy to lose time, and I think it's very easy to tune out. When you shift your energy to that of looking for more reasons to express gratitude or for the things that you're grateful for, I think by nature you have to become a little bit more mindful and pay a little more attention. And I think that is good for all of us. Gratitude walks. You could also do this on a gratitude drive if you would prefer, or that's more appropriate for you. But take a spin around the neighborhood, a park, somewhere you're comfy. Just really notice the details. The warmth of the sun, the rustle of leaves, the rhythm of your footsteps, someone walking their dog, the rush of the water, the smell in the air, whatever it is. The houses that are decorated, the houses that aren't, whatever. The things that you notice, the things that lift you up. So with each step, think of something you're grateful for. You could even create a mantra of thank you or of gratitude or of something else. But this is a way to combine mindfulness with movement and gratitude in a way that you are very focused on what you're doing. The gratitude letter. This is a little bit more personal, of course, but it never hurts to think about somebody who's made a difference in your life and send them a little note. I love seeing things like teachers, that taught you 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Maybe they're still alive. Maybe they're on Facebook. Maybe you know who they are or where they live. It amazes me to see people sending notes to teachers, letting them know how much they impacted their life and how much they appreciate it. And not just teachers. This could be a neighbor. It could be a family friend. It could be anybody that has enriched your life. Consider sending them a note. I'll tell you something. People don't know what kind of impact they have on others. They don't. Even when they're in places of power, like perhaps a teacher or a church leader or somebody else. But what I've seen a lot of times is people, they really don't know until they have crossed from this life how much they have affected other people. And I think it's a lovely thing to do to give people a little bit of that now. It means a lot. Not to mention a huge dopamine boost for you. Because when you're in service and when you are connecting with a person soul to soul like that, that does a lot for your own brain chemistry. So consider it. Gratitude at the table. So, some people pray over their food. A lot of people do. That's fine. You may consider, just on a day-to-day basis, just blessing your food in any way that you see fit. Perhaps this is more geared towards like Thanksgiving, and if it is, for you at least, when I was a kid, my grandma, or even a young adult, my grandma would want us to go around and say what we are grateful for before the meal for Thanksgiving, which I thought was always a great idea. But then she would critique what you were grateful for. And I've still never forgotten one year after literally all of us had left the Mormon church, like years before. We all went around, said what something we were grateful for, and then we all got a grandma-style beatdown for not saying that we were grateful for the church. We were all baffled because we weren't. Nobody, including her, had been to church in a decade or more. But anyway, every time I think about that, it cracks me up. I don't know. I guess she thought it was her duty. But anyway, so maybe don't do that. Maybe let people be grateful for what they want without without judgment. That's all. Evening gratitude reflection. End your day on a positive note with a gratitude reflection. This is a very simple task, but before you go to sleep, when you're getting ready for bed or tying into sleep, just getting into bed to read or whatever you do, just review three things that went well or brought you joy that day. This does not have to be big things. A phone call with a loved one, the way the sunset looked, getting through a challenging moment, seeing a meme or a video that made you laugh, something that one of your pets did. It could be a million things, right? But just a few things that felt good today, that went your way. You can journal them if you want to, or just hold them in your heart. Some people really like to journal stuff like this, and other people just don't, and that's cool. I don't ever want you guys to feel like there's any judgment here, or anywhere, shouldn't be, how you choose to process your own spirituality. This world gives you plenty of things to feel guilty about. Let's not make ourselves feel guilty about our own spirituality. Let's not. You don't have to. So, practicing gratitude year-round is a really powerful way to rewire your brain to notice the good in your life. It helps you get through hard times. It helps you to keep your chin up. It also helps you to attract something better, because when you are constantly acknowledging and recognizing the things that you like, you tend to attract more of those things into your life. So hopefully I gave you a few things to think about there. Kelly's article is called, it is the soup of the week, bitch soup. She wrote this last week, a little closer to her subject matter, but I didn't publish last week, so we're publishing it this week. But thanks, Kelly. Loved it. It's a soup recipe. It's also not a soup recipe, so I'll let you go check it out for yourself. All right. My tip this week is a tip that I give you every single year at this time. I rewrote it this time, but I love this. This is doing some candle magic at the Thanksgiving table. You don't have to tell anybody that they're doing magic. They won't know. They already do magic if they blow out their birthday candles, right? Or if they light a menorah. Or if they light candles for any other purpose in a church or in remembrance. This is no different. The idea is that you take chime candles, you know, just the small guys. You yellow or gold are preferred. You could use a different color, though, if that's what you have. Don't feel like you have to do exactly what I say. You don't, or anything I say for that matter. Who the hell am I? Just do what you want. But take your candles. You're going to need candle holders. And if you have a lot of people, you might not have that many candle holders. But fear not. It's really easy to make little candle holders out of a little orange, like the little clementines, or the little tiny pumpkins or gourds or squashes, or an apple. You can get creative. But you can absolutely use a sharp knife and carve those out to make a spot to push a little candle down in. Simple enough. You can also use shot glasses with a little salt in them. And that's really easy too. So just make sure it's fire safe. Don't use plastic. But so you just put your candle in its holder. Make it a part of the place setting. And then before the meal, ask everybody to hold their candles and speak aloud things that they're grateful for. In a more metaphysical family, you might ask people to just speak into the candle. That's pretty common. Or hold it into their heart and imbue it with their blessings. You decide what works for your family. But then pass around a lighter or a match. Light everybody's candles and just encourage them to just let them burn all the way down. Because when that candle burns all the way down and that last little wisp of smoke is released into the universe, all of those prayers or affirmations or intentions are released as well. Love candle magic and love it this time of year. Okay, Christy's energy exercise this week is Archangel Raphael for healing. Always a good one when your mind, body, or spirit need healing. This is quick. It's only a couple of minutes long. Pardon me, but it's a really easy, quick energy exercise and meditation to invoke Archangel Raphael to help you. Okay, lots of crime over at True Crime Squad, I know. No big surprise there. Jamie Dawn has a brand new video about it being Mercury retro and heading into a Sagittarius new moon. So, oh. Yay. Well, here we are. Lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation to help you. And that's it. That's it for Luminous this week. So I hope that you found something that speaks to your soul. And, yeah, something that gives you some fun ideas or helps you out. I wanted to talk a little bit about tradition because, and I'm probably a broken record on this. I think we do this just about every year. Traditions should not shackle. Traditions should be something that you want to do, that you like to do. I'm amazed how frequently I talk to people who are carrying out holiday traditions, particularly, that make them miserable because this is how we've always done it. This is what our family does. This is what our mother did or our friends did or whatever. Wow. I run into this all the time from people that talk about how they really don't feel like doing this or that, but they're going to have to. Because that's what their family does. That's what tradition calls for. Traditions shouldn't shackle you to doing things that you don't like to do or want to do. It is never too late to buck an old tradition and start a new one. Moreover, your dead loved ones, your past relatives, they don't care. They don't want you to do things that make you miserable. They don't expect you to continue to carry some banner for them at the holidays because that's how they always did it, that you don't like doing. They don't. I'll tell you about a family recipe. In my dad's family, there is a dish that they always make for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. It's called corn and oysters. And the way you make this recipe is you crush up saltines in the bottom of a baking dish, and then you add a layer of canned corn, and then you add a layer of oysters, and then you salt and pepper the hell out of it, and then you start again with your layers. And you layer that about three times, and then you pour a bunch of heavy cream over top of the whole ordeal. Got to make it a day in advance. Let it sit in the fridge so that it'll soak up all of that cream. And then you bake it for about 30 minutes and then you serve it. If that sounds absolutely terrible, that's because it is. It's awful. It's disgusting. It smells terrible. But my dad's family loved it. Loved it. It had to be on the table. It still does on my dad's side of the family. So for years after my dad died, Kara would make a little tiny casserole dish of it. And she would eat one small serving of it. Nobody else in our family would touch it. My mom hated it. Nobody else would eat it. But Kara did because that was like dad's thing, right? And a couple years ago, she said, I'm really tired of making corn and oysters and throwing it away. I think I'm going to stop. And we said, yeah, do that because it's a waste. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants it. But she felt guilty, right? Because that was our dad's favorite dish at Thanksgiving. Probably not his favorite, really. I mean, hello, mashed potatoes? Ah, come on. But but at any rate, that was kind of his thing. And she felt bad not doing that. Now, does he care? Is he mad? Is he hurt that she's not making corn and oysters anymore? Of course he doesn't care. Of course he doesn't. He doesn't care. He doesn't want her to waste her time and her money making something that nobody wants to eat. And it's not like he can eat it. But it was tradition. Point being, you don't have to do things that make you miserable. That includes going places that make you miserable. And I come across this with my clients during the holidays a lot. Where you guys find yourselves needing to go to places, family, friends, office parties, the mall, whatever, but places that make you miserable and have to spend your time with people that make you miserable. Just a reminder that you're a grown-up and you're allowed to say no. You don't have to go. You don't. It's okay. And if you need to make up a story and say that you're sick, fine, do that. I don't care. Who cares? You do not have to force yourself to be miserable for somebody else's comfort during the holidays. Full stop. You don't. If there's stuff you want to do, great. If there's places you want to visit, wonderful. If there's family that you want to see, excellent. But if it is a huge ask of you, and it's not something that you are emotionally or physically up to, or spiritually up to, there isn't a damn thing wrong with staying home. The other piece that I think is really important to remember at the holidays is it's really okay to limit your time. If everybody is going to Great Aunt Edna's for Thanksgiving, and typically everybody spends 8 or 10 hours at her house cooking and eating and playing and sleeping and whatever, and that just sounds like hell to you, then you go for an hour or two. Do not force yourself to stay in places where you're miserable. You don't have to. Again, you're a grown-up that gets to say no. You'll get pushback from people who probably also don't want to be there and don't dare say no. But for you, don't make yourself miserable. You don't have to. And if for you Thanksgiving is going to a movie and grabbing lunch at a local diner, great. If you don't do Thanksgiving at all, and I know some of you guys aren't even here in the U.S. and you don't, that's okay too. Good for you. The fact is, the holidays can be a time that triggers a lot of loneliness. It can be a time that triggers a lot of regret. And it can be a time that triggers a lot of frustration for people. And so here we are. Oh, hell. Hold on. We have a troll. Chelsea? No. Hold on. Okay. I got her blocked. Let me delete her comment. Okay. Anyway, so that's my soapbox. It will always be my soapbox. This will always be my my lecture to you, right? Is that the holidays are not a reason for you to have to be unhappy. So have great boundaries. Do the things that are good for you. Do not fall into the urge to make yourself feel super guilty about stuff. You just don't have to. You don't. And know that as you change, other people will get uncomfy because they don't like change, right? And so if you're changing, you will have other people that don't like that because they're afraid about how that might affect them. But that is actually too bad. Looks to me like we're going to have a few minutes for readings. So if you have a reading request, this would be a great time to put it up in any of the chat rooms. I've got my eyes on all of them. So if there's something I can do for you today, let me know. Sid said, I've seen wild turkeys in Colorado, the Colorado Mountains. that become very tame, pecking on the side of the house when the flock wants to eat. They know the homeowners. Yep. Wild turkeys are hilarious. One of the mountains, a spot in the mountains where Scott and I like to kick around in the summertime, you almost always see hens with a little string of babies running with them. It's hilarious. I absolutely love it. Shireen needs a birthday message. Happy birthday, my friend. That's right, you are a Sag. It's Sagittarius season. We lived through Scorpio season. So, there's that. Okay, Misty, I'll take a look. I'm going to pull you some cards, Shireen. Maya, I would love to look at that. Do you have a little bit more specific message around that? And yeah, I'll definitely take a look at it. Okay. All right, I guess we're pulling four cards. We're just going to look at your birthday over the next year, four quarters. Okay. Oh, it's Misty's birthday on Thursday. Look at all our Sagges coming out to play. Okay. The first card is the Passion Ignited card. So that's like now through the next like three-ish months. So, Shireen, it really strikes me that here in this next little while, you might feel some pretty intense energy around making some changes. I feel like this could be job or family related or even friend related, but I feel like you're going to have some a real push and passion around shifting some things that help. You feel to me like you're really ready to break some shackles. You're really ready to just change your life a little bit. You're bored, so you're looking for some ways to make it more interesting and more fun. And good on you. The second card, so we're looking at like February-ish here, 3 months beyond that, is the Accelerated Motion card, which basically means you're going to see things moving pretty quickly. Some changes that you may already have started to initiate will happen really quickly during that time frame. I feel like it's kind of one of those places that you are I'll get my thoughts together. It's one of those places where you ask for change and then you start getting change and it scares the shit out of you and you go, okay, never mind. Stop. This is too much. Well, you've already started the ball rolling, so it's probably not going to stop. But just a reminder to you that you are totally safe and that the changes that are coming in for you at this point, I feel like, are actually so good and so good for you long term. So if things get a little wild, take a deep breath. You're okay. And then looking at next summer, the card is Transformation. I love this card. It's one of my favorite cards in this deck. This is the Psychic Tarot by John Holland, by the way. Look at her. That's you over the summer. I feel like this summer will have more plans, more fun, more travel than you've had in quite a while. And a huge opportunity for you to, again, unshackle, break loose from some things that have kept you stuck for quite a while. But I really like this stage for you. It's like a midlife crisis without the crisis. It's just like you just really kind of rediscovering what gives you passion, what makes you tick, what you enjoy, and really going for it. And then the last card, so we're looking at like next fall, is the Spiritual Strength card. So this card always indicates to me that this is kind of a settling period. So you might be settling in from the changes that have already occurred this year, but it's a spot where you really are able to recognize in yourself what you're, how strong you already are. And also for you, I feel like this has to do with your children. That this is a time that they might need some extra support from you and wisdom and guidance from you. and you're in a perfect place to give it. So, very interesting birthday year for you. It's good. I'm excited. I can't wait to see what happens for you. You deserve all the good things. Okay. Misty, struggling in knowing which direction to take her marriage. And her birthday's Thursday, so happy birthday to you, Misty. Hi, Lynn. All right, pulling you a few cards here. I'm going to pull cards, but before that, I'm going to tell you, Misty, that I feel like you're not really going to fully know which direction to take the marriage until February. You're not done experiencing some things quite yet, and I think that what you will find is that as you give that a little bit more time, you'll be able to really be really comfortable with your choice and where you're at. Obviously, nobody can tell you exactly what to do there, but that's what comes up for me. So I pulled three cards. The first card is the accelerated motion card. That's like looking at right now, basically meaning that things are going to be quick, happen quickly between now and that January-ish, February-ish spot where I feel like you will absolutely get exactly where you need to be. And then the next card is the prosperity card, telling me that you'll be okay. You're going to be okay financially, whichever direction this goes, and that the choices that you make are going to support you financially. And then that last card is the movement, choices, and decisions card. This is like February, March, where that really gets real and you make a full decision. So you've got a little time here. Really rely on the support of your friends and family that can be unbiased. I feel like part of the problem that you have is that you sometimes don't really have anybody to fully confide in, because either you're going to tell them things that will make them hate your partner, or you don't feel like you're safe to share because that might not be in confidence. So I think, Misty, if you're not already, I would highly recommend getting in counseling for a little while, so that you have somebody to talk to that is completely neutral, or that's even on your side, because you deserve that too. So, holding space for you. Come back and report. Let us know. Okay, Maya said, okay, so this is on her prorated bonus check. She said, they have not paid this money to me, and I've been waiting. Not sure if the owner is going to sign off on it or not. Yeah, so they are, Maya, but not without a little pressure. Unfortunately, I feel like this is going to require a little bit of follow-up that I know you don't want to do at all, but I feel like you're going to have to put a little pressure on them. At the end of the day, I do feel like you're going to get it, but they're going to see what they can get away with. I'm sorry. Those guys have jerked you around a lot. You do not deserve that. Okay, just checking the chat room here quick. Okay, good. So, if you do Thanksgiving, what is your favorite thing on the table? Actually, tell me two things. Tell me what you can't live without and what you wish never came. What do you like the most? What do you hate? You bet, Misty. My honor. I'm always curious to know. Everybody has a different. I'll tell you what I don't like. Green bean casserole. I don't like it. I know. That is controversial. I do not. I also don't like the yams. I don't like either. I never take either one of those. I know. But for me, it's all about the mashed potatoes. But I'm an Idaho girl. What can I say? That's what we do here, right? Oh, Amy loves green bean casserole, but does not like the turkey. Okay, I'm iffy on the turkey, too. It really has to be done really correctly. I think it's so easy to ruin turkey, right? But if you have a really good gravy, you might be okay on the turkey, or a really good cranberry sauce. But, no on the green bean casserole. My mom never made green bean casserole. It wasn't a staple in our family. I always, you know, heard of other people making it, but it wasn't something that we made. And then, you know, as we have expanded our family and people have entered our family who did always have green bean casserole, they want it. So, you know, we started making it more. But it's not my jam at all. Scott hates pumpkin pie. Can you imagine that? Yeah. Sid said, I'd never like the green bean casserole either. My fave is stuffing and gravy. No Thanksgiving for me since she moved from Mexico. Love the ideas and great reminders you shared today. Well, you're my honor, absolutely. Amy, I love stuffing as well, as long as it's not my grandmother's. She put oysters in it. Oof. Ugh. Yeah, no, hard pass on that. My grandma put the giblets from the turkey, you know, the innards. She'd chop those up and put them either in the gravy or... or in the stuffing, or maybe both, dear God. No. Couldn't do that. Mm-mm. Lynn says she does like the turkey, doesn't like the desserts. Interesting. Are you just not a dessert person in general? Or is it just like the pie traditions at Thanksgiving aren't your thing? We make a huckleberry cheesecake every year for Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm not making the huckleberry cheesecake this year, amazingly. We did pick... We'll probably make it for Christmas, but Christy's making it this year for Thanksgiving, so that's awesome. And that's a family recipe for us, too, but huckleberries, mountain huckleberries, like where I live, they taste like something different than what you've ever had before. I don't know how to describe that. They're kind of like a little tart blueberry, but much more tart. And they have, at least from the mount, I've had huckleberries from different places, but where we are, they're more of a kind of a, almost a piney flavor. I don't know how to describe that. But a huckleberry cheesecake, that'll knock your socks off. And because huckleberries take forever to pick, or if you choose to not pick them and buy them from somebody else who picked them, I mean, to put that in perspective, huckleberries were going for about $125 a gallon this year. About $30 for a quart bag. Yeah. Because they're a ton of work and they take forever to pick. But anyway, so I'm excited for the huckleberry cheesecake. That's like the only dessert I ever really seek out on Thanksgiving, because huckleberry cheesecake. Yeah. Okay, checking the other chat room quick. So I will be back next week, same place, same time. Oh, Denise said no to cranberry sauce. Okay. A hard pass on the cranberry sauce, huh? Interesting. Okay. Is it too bitter, Denise? Some people think, you know, if you have the right taste buds, it would be too bitter. Alrighty. Well, my hour is up, so I have to go. I want to remind you that I'm a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. You can find me over there every single day, including Thanksgiving. I'll be around. If you ever need me and you head over to 12listen.com and I'm not available, either do a scheduled call or do a callback request. When you do a callback request, I get a text that you are waiting, and I'll do everything I can to get to a spot where I can sign in and speak with you. So that's a really easy way. But I am there a lot, I promise. I am there as much as I possibly can be for you guys. I can help you with a psychic reading, with mediumship, with energy work. I'll do whatever I can to help. This is my job, but it's also my life's work, and I'm incredibly humbled to have the opportunity. So let me know if I can help. Thank you all for all of the love you've shown me this last week. My heart is full. I appreciate you all very, very much. Have a happy Thanksgiving, or don't. It's up to you. Have a regular Thursday, if that's what Thursday is for you. But thanks for being here. This has been yet another edition of the Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.